Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
It's the Albany legislature here that's at fault, not the unions.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
There's some things we have to have taxes for, and that's fine, but you just have to stand up and say some of these things we can't afford.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We continue. It is a Friday, the 20th day of March, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. Mr. Mayor, we have survived the winter. Springtime has arrived.
First day of spring, and it's snowing outside.
Something's wrong.
It happens every year. Yesterday, I was going into Gracie Mansion, and one of the police officers says, "Oh, spring, look, the flowers are coming up." Yeah, those flowers survive snow. And invariably, we will get a snowstorm in March and probably in April.
JJ says no storm, just a flurry or two.
A couple more flakes in New York. From his lips to the whoever makes the weather's ears.
All right. Where should we start here? Let's talk about the MTA. I talked with the governor yesterday.
I read about that in the paper.
Yes, indeed.
Very impressive, the cast of people that you can get to come and...
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. The governor seemed frustrated, to say the least, here. But when I asked him point blank, I said, "Do you have a deal in your pocket? Where's it going next week?" He goes, "No, I have no deal. No deal at all."
You got to step back and say, what's going on? Number one, the MTA, whether you love it or hate it, we need mass transit, and even to maintain what we have, it needs more money. Number two, if we ever want to stop the constant increase in the amount of money that it needs, you've got to make investments in labor-saving technology. If you want to make it safer, if you want to make it more pleasurable, run more frequently, if you want to serve parts of the region that are not currently served, it takes capital dollars. So start out with, whether you like it or not, we've got to find other revenue sources. Then the question is, where? Well, there's only two places, either for the people that use mass transit or everybody who argue that everybody does benefit even if they don't use mass transit. Now you get down to, can you raise the fares, which the MTA board can do without asking anybody, or other sources, which requires the state legislature. That's it. Those are the two groups it gets down to, and one of the two, or both, have to act. We cannot continue to have the workers want to get paid. Whoever sells electricity wants to get paid. Whoever makes railroad cars and buses wants to get paid. And New York City, if you remember, a year or so ago, came up with a plan to get capital dollars, which is even more important than the subsidies, and also some money to subsidize the fare. The Albany legislature, or more specifically, in all fairness, the assembly run by Speaker Shelley Silver, said no, they didn't like that plan. They thought it had some flaws in it, and they could come up with a different plan that would accomplish the same thing. During the last year, the governor said, okay, we should look at things, and he asked Dick Ravitch to voluntarily spend a lot of his time to study the MTA and come up with a plan. Dick did, and then Shelley took that and said, well, some things I like, some things I don't. Same thing with the Bloomberg plan. Changed it and came up with a third version, but one that would work. So he did what he said he was going to do. Wasn't my first choice. Wasn't Dick Ravitch's first choice. It is Shelley Silver's first choice.
Wasn't the governor's either.
But, you know, look, there's nothing perfect here. Yep. This is a series of the lesser of evils, and Shelley's judgment's as good as anybody else's, and he acted responsibly. The other branch of the state legislature, the state Senate, has just changed from Republican to Democratic hands, and they are less well-organized than the Assembly. In all fairness, they have a bare majority, whereas in Shelley's case, the Democrats have a very large, very hard to see how they could ever lose majority. And Malcolm Smith has been elected the new leader, and it's up to him to pull together The votes. I saw one editorial page today blasted Dean Skelos, who is the head of the minority Republicans in the Senate. In all fairness to Skelos, if he volunteers, I think Malcolm would lose as many Democratic votes. They just don't want to work together. Now, you can compare that to Washington, where the president said, I'm going to work in a nonpartisan, bipartisan way, and he's tried. I think in the legislative side in Washington, they haven't been doing that. But the president, in all fairness, has tried to reach across the aisle, as they call it. And it's up now to either... Well, it's really up to the state Senate, because if the state Senate doesn't get together with the assembly and pass a bill that both houses find acceptable and that the governor will sign, then the MTA board is going to vote 25-30% increases in fares and also cut some services. And that's going to happen in a week or so. And once you do it, people say, oh, well, we'll come back and fix it later. Very hard to do. Once you start down these roads, people make plans and adjust, and you start getting into legal reasons why not. And if the Senate says, oh, we can always fix it later on if the public outcry is there, we're getting to the
public outcry is going to be there.
Well, you know, the
state... Or are you not so sure?
Oh, I think the public outcry is going to go crazy, because if you remember back in the days when we came up with our plan, very few people drive. Most people take mass transit. And so, you know, the difference is how many people get affected versus how many people complain and write letters and call up and give campaign donations and work at the polls and all of those kinds of things that you try to you do to try to influence legislation to be favorable to what you believe or want or benefit from. But this is just one of the things. The state budget is going to be even more contentious. And I saw in the paper today, Malcolm said, oh, we have to stop working on mass transit and go and work on the budget first. We can't keep postponing and ducking. The state budget is, I don't think anybody knows, number one, how many people work for New York State. There's something like 60 agencies and 1,000 authorities. An authority is something where a handful of leaders can appoint people to it, so it's a job creation thing. They have their own budgets. There's nothing that ties them all together. If you say how many people really work for the state, not technically work for the state, but work for the state in every subdivision, on the books, off the books,
nobody
left the
knows.
Books, right of books, I don't know of any system that pulls it all together. And there's a reason for that, because they just don't want anybody to know. And this is not, you can't just blame the legislators and the governor today. This has gone on for decades, and nobody complained about it, particularly in good times, nobody complains. So, you know, they've got the budget that they have, they are going to have to cut expenses. Now, take a look at New York City. We've cut about $3 billion in expenses over the last couple of years. We've prepaid a few billion dollars worth of interest, and we still need some help from labor, a Tier 5, and some copay. We still need to get the governor to restore education money, which he now has federal money, but as I kept telling the president before he got nominated and his staff, if you send money to the states, it gets spread around the state and doesn't necessarily get to where Congress intended. Congress clearly said, and Chuck Schumer talked about this in his press conferences, that the money's going to make up for all of the cuts to Medicaid, and lo and behold, we don't get our share of the Medicaid. And that's true of a lot of these other things. So the state budget has got to so we still have problems. And we'll get through this. We're actually in a lot better shape than we would have been if we hadn't diversified, if we hadn't cut back. The state's yet to cut back any expenses. And in all fairness to them, once they start to cut, you see these television ads, don't cut us, don't cut this. And the state's got to stand up to the people who, look, we're going to cut some more, for example, out of our Health and Hospitals Corporation budget. People already are screaming, oh, you're going to hurt me. Yes. Unfortunately, there just isn't enough money to do everything. And once you make the cuts, you've got to stand there and defend them and not cave in. Because if you cave in on one, then it's open season. It's everybody is going to roll.
The rush is on.
You can't,
Let me ask you this question. It's somewhat loaded, but I apologize up front for that.
You're still going to do
I'm still going to do it, absolutely. Is this democracy or is this dysfunction?
Well, democracy, as Churchill said, is the worst of all, except for every other form of government. And in all fairness, we've kept a democracy for 235-odd years in this country. We occasionally put in the wrong people, and then the next election, the public, not always, but usually turns things around. So, you know, there's a reason to be worried and depressed, but you certainly don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, with all this yelling and screaming in Washington about bailouts and that sort of thing. And then you read in the paper that these companies keep giving money to political parties and to individual senators and congressmen and state senators and, you know, everybody, just right through the list. Nobody gives money without expecting, nobody gives their stockholders money without expecting something in return. You have a right to give your money for good government, but corporations, they have a legal responsibility to maximize the profits of their company. They are only doing it if they think it's in their interest. And it's sad that they think it but probably if they think it, it's probably true.
Exactly. Again, there's probably a history.
Well, you see a couple of arrests today in the paper, indictments against people who were influencing pension. New York City, and I, quite honestly, I always thought that the New York City pension fund, state pension fund system was free of that kind of influence, and it's a shame. I think the New York City pension fund is. Bill Thompson has done a good job, and all the people on the pension board, of which I have, I think Mark Page is my representative. I've reclused myself from that. But I think New York City is has been run very well, and hopefully if the state hasn't been, they'll fix it.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Let's take a break right here to get a couple of commercials out of the way. 21 minutes after 8 o'clock, this portion of the sit-down on a Friday with Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the
John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
We continue with Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 25 after 8. If you've got a question for the mayor before we finish up here, we'll get you on the air. 800-321-0710 is our telephone number. You are headed to Washington to meet with the president later on?
I am going to meet with the president along with Ed Rendell, the governor of Pennsylvania.
It's over the AIG bonuses?
No, it's over infrastructure. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California. Two good guys who are really worked very hard on infrastructure. They're both good governors.
I know you said infrastructure. Is there a specific agenda, or is it sort of a general we need more money type of thing?
Well, I think we need a strategy, an overall vision from
not just money.
And the president's got to put it out before they start getting this money out. Once you open up, it's nothing wrong with Congress divvying up the money. That's their job. I've never been comfortable with them picking projects because I think they work at a level where they don't know. I'd much rather have municipalities pick the projects down at the city level, although governors wouldn't agree with that. They think it should be at the state level, but I think the city level. But they should do it within a framework. President's got to enunciate what the national goals should be. What are we trying to accomplish? In clear words, not just usual rhetoric. If you go back, Jefferson built the canals and opened the Midwest. During Lincoln's day, they focused on railroads, and that opened the rest of the country up. Roosevelt worked on airports and municipal buildings all across this country. And Eisenhower focused on the interstate highway system, which really, it was interesting. That one, they said they needed it for defense so we could move troops from one place to another. Truth of the matter is, it's virtually no troops get moved over it. They fly. And number two, well, some do. And then, but it's used to, it made the enormous difference to this country. In each of those cases, for
decades.
Do
you think Eisenhower understood what the ultimate outcome of those would be?
I don't know. Maybe not. You know, these things are big, complex things and lots of input and that sort of thing. They certainly understood, I'm sure, that there would be a big commercial development input, whether or not they thought that they would need to move troops. You know, it's one of these things you hope you never do, but having it.
What project do you think? Do you have a project, a similar sized idea?
Well, for New York City, that's my job, not the country.
I understand, but
the city, I can tell you in the city what we need, and we're trying to do that. For the country, you know, that's the president's job, but we have for too long walked away from our infrastructure. We're much too dependent on foreign oil. If you want to have wind power, the winds are in the plain states, but the infrastructure to carry electricity generated there to where people live is not there. That's one thing you can do. We have an enormous water problem. We're going to see droughts here more and more. We've got to start worrying about that. We have airlines that can't fly, and the delays are choking our economy. In Europe, they don't have flights under 500 miles generally. They have high-speed rail that goes every place. Now, America, some of that fits, some doesn't. Fits in some places, not others, because America is so big compared to, you know, each of these countries are relatively small in Europe compared to America. But you can go right down the list. There's another part of infrastructure that, and to me, it's infrastructure that isn't bricks and mortar and won't. This is not something that the construction unions are going to focus on, but education. If you want infrastructure, there's nothing more important than the education of our kids, because that's the workforce of tomorrow, that's the voter of tomorrow, that's our ability to compete. And public education, I thought the country, the Senate and the House should not give out education money without asking for reforms. That's what we did in New York City. Our teachers got a 43% raise. Our principals got a similar kind of raise. But in return for which, we have performance pay. They teach the equivalent of another 25 days a year. We've changed a lot of the union rules and seniority so that it's a better system. And the teachers and principals have better jobs. And they didn't get hurt at all. As a matter of fact, they benefited. I think most would tell you that. But we changed things so that we could run the school system for the students. So that's just another one. But there's training for adults right now. In New York City, I was yesterday at an oil company on Staten Island. The guys, people are buying less oil. They're heating with natural gas now. So his business is going away. He goes in and he gets, we have a program where we gave him $22,000. He added $12,000 of his own money. He's training his people in repair for air conditioners. And he's got 35 employees and 15 in this part of his business. He's going to lay off six of them. Now they're all going to have jobs.
Yeah, I heard that story. It's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, but it's only six people. But, you know, we scale it up for the city. The country's got to figure out how to scale it up. We talk about retraining green jobs. Well, what are the green jobs and who's going to get it? It's infrastructure, which is not really a jobs program. Infrastructure, the construction part of it, is giving us the wherewithal for the next few decades. It's as important as anything else, maybe even more important. But it's not going to create a lot of jobs, because most of the people getting laid off aren't going to drive backhoes. You know, they're just in different worlds.
But the construction stuff is easy to think about and do.
It's
definable.
I'd put it right up the top of the list. But you got to understand what it does and why you're doing it. No one thing. But the trouble is, we always, well, here's the objective. Let's find things that we want to do and find some ways to make them sound like they fit into the objective. It's like the automobile industry. If you want to have an American, and I don't know quite yet what an American automobile industry is, since, you know, a lot of these cars with names like Honda and Toyota and Lexus, whatever, are built in America. And many of the parts for GM and Ford and Chrysler cars are built overseas. As a matter of fact, Chrysler was Daimler Chrysler, not very American. And I don't know who owns the stock of General Motors. For all I know, more people overseas than the United States own it. So it's hard to tell. But if you want to have the big three or big two and a half, it's down to in Detroit, a viable industry, you'd cut the size of their capacity in half. That's an awful lot of dealers going out of business, plant companies. suppliers going out of business, factories going, assembly plants going out of business. On the other hand, if you want to help the economy, you might want to subsidize and keep them all there. Which do you want to do? You can't do both. And invariably, the political process, because nobody wants to make hard, fast decisions in the legislators, generally it's a little bit of everything. Otherwise, they can't cobble together the votes. I mean, that's no matter how well-meaning individual senators or congressional or assembly, wherever people are, the problem is you've got to get enough votes to pass legislation, and that invariably means something for everybody.
You're absolutely right. All right, you've got a lot to talk to the president about and also the other governors. Also, we've got more to talk about right here. Let me take another break. We've gone a little long on the half hour.
John, a call now. 800-321-0710. John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, 19 minutes before 9 o'clock, we're going to get to you on the phones. Don't forget, 800-321-0710 if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
You know, I was just listening, and California, the state of California, is advertising on a great New York radio station.
We thank them for that.
That's quite all right. To get investors. And so
where do they come?
If you wonder who generates the money for this country, it's New York City.
Would you thank the governor when you see him?
I will certainly do that.
All right. What on earth happened to your Javits Center? They virtually eviscerated it. Any new addition will now be a porta potty.
Let me just get this straight. There was some guy who wanted to put billion-plus dollars in, build us a new Javits Center, which would have been spectacular, pay for the whole thing, and all he wanted to do was to use it 13 Sundays a year.
It would include big stadium, too.
And we said no. Well, you can call it a stadium, but it was the Javits Center.
It was a convention center.
It was a convention center, which you could convert to put grass down, fake grass, and play a football game there on Sunday afternoons, and there'd be 13 odd games.
So
and
now
we
the new
said
extension
no.
is double wide.
It's hard to... If you wrote the book and said we'd walked away from that, we walked away from $384 million of federal money that would have helped us solve our traffic problem, nobody would publish the book because nobody would believe it.
Well, it begs the question about the decision-making process by those that make the decisions in Albany.
We could spend our day whipping Albany. Spend our day whipping Washington. As long as you don't spend our day whipping New York City's administration.
Well, I understand that you're the roof at City Hall is falling in on your head, said Chicken Little.
There is in the bullpen this structure built above us. And it's not because they're doing anything inside. It's above the ceiling in the rafters. And they were afraid that something would fall through and kill somebody. And I didn't want to move because it would take a long time, 6 months worth of construction. I didn't want to move us over to Brooklyn or someplace. It's just so disruptive. It's a 200-year-old building. And I don't know why. There was a fire up there, actually. When I remember Patty Harris giving me a tour of City Hall after I was elected, but before I took over. We came in one evening just to walk around, and we went up to the Art Commission, which is one floor above small offices. They'd been there forever. And you go in, and you can see where the charred beams, where a fire was 100 years ago or something. But we've got to fix it, because otherwise it'll fall in.
Small little story. We last week we talked about crane safety, and we talked about the situation here at the World Trade Center. But there was a story here that OSHA wants to maybe come in here and take oversight of crane safety, even though OSHA has nobody on staff in the city of New York, according to this
article. Didn't make any
sense.
And Chuck Schumer, to his credit, and I called him yesterday to say thank you, wrote a letter to OSHA saying it's an outrage, or I don't know how he phrased it, but saying no, the city's department building should be investigating. We have a new commissioner, this guy Bob Lamandri, is doing a great job. We've trained, we've added checks and balances. that maybe we should have had earlier, who knows, but to have, you know, we're there, we should be inspecting, and the Port Authority was on board with it. We're inspecting the cranes, and if there's something wrong, hopefully we'll find it. I can't guarantee you'll always find everything wrong, but cranes can fall over, and they're very dangerous. Construction's very dangerous. Crane falling over not only can kill construction workers, it can kill people walking by, and I don't know where that came from.
Are you at all concerned about, again, this, because this has to do with the city, even though the question has to do with the federalism. Are you concerned that we seem to be moving more towards a centralized system than maybe we've had in the past, and maybe more than we should?
Well, I think since you know, the founding fathers argued in Philadelphia to put together the country, the issue of states' rights versus federal has been moving in the direction of federal control, sort of pretty much nonstop. It goes in little spits and spurts, but mostly in that direction. I think it is natural because the old borders really don't mean anything in this day and age. It's interesting. Even the national borders don't really mean as much as they used to. If you look in Europe, the EU is really people saying, you know, we'll give up some of our sovereignty to a broader group because we all live in the same economy and have the same defense issues and the same environmental issues. Those are the things that push
so
us.
So you think this is just an, sort of an automatic natural progression?
I mean, I'm a believer in people should be in, you know, you want to get authority down as low as you can so that people can customize the government for what suits them. Having said that, there are some things that just are nationwide. For example, defense of the country. You can't have every state have its own. Education has traditionally been a local thing, and a lot of people want to keep it local. I don't know that I feel very strongly that it shouldn't be general across the country, but if the federal government gives money, they should have a right to set standards. And one of the things we've done is No Child Left Behind, which Bush did, he really, in Congress, they tried to work on improving public education, didn't go far enough, didn't do it the way as I would have done it, but they deserve a lot of credit. George, this is one of the things I've agreed with Bush on. He really did work hard on public education. And what this No Child Left Behind, you had to have a certain percentage of your kids graduating. So some states just dumbed down the graduation hurdle.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
I mean, but everybody in every one of these states is going to be a voter in our national election. They're going to determine your retirement and your health and all these things. So you do have an interest in how well or poorly people are educated elsewhere.
You're absolutely right. I need to take another break so that we can sneak in some questions from our listeners, Mr. Mayor. Stick around, 800-321-0710. When we come back, it's your turn.
John Gambling. John Gambling and Mayor Mike on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, 7 before 9 o'clock. Mayor Mike and John here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Mr. Mayor, we've got a whole bank of phones right here. Let's start with number 5. That's Bernard out in Little Neck. Bernard, you've got the mayor. Go.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Yep. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy
You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
But the one question is, how come we're spending that fortune building a new police headquarters in College Point? What happens to the big one and the magnificent building in Manhattan?
Well, we have a very small building in Manhattan, which just doesn't, unfortunately, satisfy the needs in a day and age when people have to get training and responding to all sorts of kinds of potential threats from around the world.
No, isn't he talking about the police academy?
He's talking about the police academy. Right. Yeah, this is not the police headquarters at One Police Plaza stays there. The police academy has a building in the 20s. Been there. I think it's in the 20s on the east side, and it just is not adequate for what we need. So we train some people at College Point or at Floyd Bennett Field, something Rodman's Neck, some down in the 20s. And we really do need, if we're going to have a police force that has all of the training and recurring training and skills that you need to protect us, we need a new facility. College Point, the land is there. It's right now, most of it's used as a tow pound for cars they tow away. And so that's what it is. But it's not replacing the police headquarters. The police headquarters at 1PP is a great building. I'm sure they'd always like more space. Everybody wants more space, but this is something different. And thanks for the question.
All right, Bernard, thank you very much. Let's go to Claude in Manhattan. Claude, it's your turn. Go.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
I have what I think is a brilliant solution to the MTA tolls problem.
Well, okay.
He's listening. Go.
You got it.
I've noticed that I've seen number of cars that come into the city have single occupants. Instead of a $2 toll on all cars, why not a $4 toll on single-occupant cars?
Well,
it would raise revenue, reduce congestion, and it would deal with the logistical problem of putting toll booths on the air.
I think Dick Ravitz's original plan had a $5 toll, and whether it had an occupancy component to it, I don't know, but that's not a bad idea, because you do want to, if they're going to drive, you want them to have more people, and there are lots of HOV lanes where you have to have high occupancy vehicle usage.
It's an interesting idea to not charge multi-people cars.
Well, part of it is, keep in mind, congestion pricing, the design was to raise revenues and to force people off, to leave their cars at home. This system would discourage people from taking their cars and get some revenue. Speaker Silver's idea was $2 for everybody. You know, at this point, we got to have a revenue source. So I personally would go more. I agree with that. If you're going to tax, and given that it's $30 to park in New York City or even more, and we do want to make it onerous to drive. You want people to take mass transit, and you want to get the money for it. I would do more. But at the moment, Shelley Silver is willing to stand up in his conference for $2, deserves a lot of credit for that. It's the state Senate that they want to charge zero.
All right. I like the next question here, because I drive this road as well. Walter, what's your question for the mayor?
Hi, first of all, an honor to speak to you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to find out, there's four projects going on the BQE between Staten Island and, Flushing Avenue. Some of them took 3 months to break down, reconcrete, and have it ready to go. And it's taken another 9 months on each of the projects to have them roadworthy. What takes so long to get a project like this on the road, back on the road?
Well, I'd be cute to ask how old you are and say, you know, do you have grandchildren? It's a state road. I assume they're doing it as fast as they can. One of the problems, Walter, with all of this is they have to construct while people are still using the road. And that makes it enormously more expensive and time-consuming. And you'll see they'll block off one or two lanes, work within that confined space the whole time, while people are zipping by on either side. It makes it more dangerous. But some of the stuff they have to do at night and on weekends, which drives you crazy when you're trying to drive, and you say, oh, there shouldn't be any traffic at night or weekends, and then you run into traffic jams. Well, better that than during the workday, I suppose. But it just, these things aren't easy. And my guess is, I think I've heard it's about another 5 years or close to that before the BQE is going to get done. Now, keep in mind, the FDR used to be called Fix the Road, because they were constructing on it forever.
It is very frustrating. I drive the BQE both ways, morning and afternoon, and I've got to tell you.
What about mass transit?
From a time standpoint, it doesn't exist.
Oh, well, you know, okay.
Well, that's why I drive.
So that the delays aren't that bad.
Well,
you
not,
can't have it
not
both
at
ways.
3 o'clock in the morning, but I tell you, going home on the BQE. Walter, you're absolutely right. It's frustrating as all get out. Let's see here. Joan, real fast. Joan, go.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Mayor.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Just wondering if anyone has ever looked at the possibility or copied the example at Walt Disney World to take the underground system that we already have and take it during non-peak hours and try to create an income by turning that into a small package or some type of freight delivery system that could alleviate roads and trucks from Manhattan as well as create an income.
Well, that's an idea.
But there are messengers that do it. Some of them take their bikes, which drives me crazy, because I've never agreed with the MTA. I know bicyclists will now ring the phones off the hook, but they're just too big, particularly at rush hours. I don't think they should allow them. But I'm not running the MTA. I think messenger services already use it. it's a great answer if you want to move packages.
What a great
idea. Have your people take the subway.
Next, we're going to see a FedEx truck on the number four.
Or a FedEx car attached to the back.
There you go.
I like that idea.
A freight rail system.
Joan will get the credit
Absolutely
for it.
Absolutely so.
They probably won't give her any of the revenue, but that's okay.
That's all right. Just for the idea. We got folks thinking out there. I think we've got to go. Time is up.
Looking forward to it next week.
Absolutely. Next Friday, we'll get together again right here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. That does it for the John Gambling Show for this week.